You know, this morning I would talk a little about forgiveness. Talk about forgiveness. And don't be perturbed. Don't think I'm trying to get you to forgive your grandmother or something. That's your choice. You know, don't say, Pastor, don't get there. I'm not going to forgive that woman. That's your business. Well, I just want to show something about forgiveness. You know, in the book of Luke chapter 7, there was a very important and interesting story in Luke chapter 7. From verse 36, I nearly looked up, you know, but I'm not going to. I'll do as if I don't miss them. You know, I'll do as if I don't. Mercy. If I allow the mercy, it'll be as if I'm allowing the mercy for myself, as if it's because I can't cope. But if I give you mercy, will you do better?
Yes, sir.
I am mercy. Luke 7:36, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. You see, that there's something about serious people. Serious people don't need all the opportunities. Serious people don't need everything set. Jesus was not going to a house. Jesus was not going to our auntie's house or our sister's house. Jesus was going to a Pharisee's house. And then when she knew, that's all for to know when somebody is serious. A window is enough for them to take the whole space. You see, when you're unserious, you will have a lot of excuses. When you're serious, you will need, you know, the book of Proverbs tells us about the guy who would always check the weather. And then he says, like, it's going to rain. And that's why he wouldn't go out. And another time, he would just imagine there's a lion on the road. You see, there's something about unserious people. There's always something missing that if you can add it, they will do better. Yeah. You see, and those are the people who you should make effort never to help. Are you together with me? People who haven't done something with nothing. You see, you must have done something with absolutely nothing. And that's a sign that you really want to do something. Are we together here? And that is the kind of posture the Lord wants us to have. A posture where to agree that something is impossible is an impossible agreement for us to make. We never agree that something is what is impossible. Give me the scripture about the lazy guy. He would always say there's a lion somewhere. He just has this imagination that there is one lion somewhere. But you see, this woman heard that Jesus was going to a Pharisee's place is not somewhere a prostitute wants to go. No, not those days. A Pharisee's place is not a place a prostitute wants to go. You see, but sometimes your passion must be greater than your disadvantage.
Yes.
Your passion must be greater than your disadvantage. You know, destiny doesn't work towards us. We go for it. No, it doesn't. It's not. If you sit down, that will be the exact posture your life will take. If you sit down, your life would also sit down. The slothful man said, there is a lion. There is a lion without. Give me the new KJV. There is a lion somewhere. See? There is a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets. Overwhelmed by disadvantage. But I don't think that's your story. I said, is that your story? And that's not your story. We even see the lion and still go. Yeah, we look for a way to still go. Maybe that's the first lesson for today. The woman seeing, knowing what she needs, and even though the circumstance was a very, very unfavorable circumstance. See, you can't wait for everything to be favorable. You can't. You can't do that. You can't wait for everything to be favorable. You can't wait for everything to be perfect. It doesn't have to be all set. Let's go back to our scripture. And then she went. She didn't mind. She knew that Jesus sat at the meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. All right? And stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, can you give me the new KJV? And when the Pharisee who had invited him, you see, that's better than bidding. Because you can be thinking something that, is he biding? Was biding in this story? When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself saying, this man, if he were a prophet. Wow. If you look at in the external, you would have thought the Pharisee was the one who honored him.
Yes, sir.
Because it was the Pharisee who invited him and who had set the table. You would have thought this is all the honor. But even in all of those activity, there was doubt inside. Yeah. And there was someone who didn't have all the opportunity to invite him, and yet there was faith in her. So it will never be a case that you don't have all the opportunity. It will be a case of what is going on inside you. So many times failure is actually a choice. You don't want people to know you chose. Yeah. It's usually a choice. I tell you, even though it doesn't look like a choice externally, but check people's heart, it's a choice. So don't you think it's a choice? It's a choice. It's a choice. You're in a house like this, for example, and you're failing. It's your choice. Even though you look like you are crying when you are failing, but somehow you like it. Because there is a comfort failure gives sometimes. Yeah, there is a comfort it gives. Because failure introduces to a world of excuses. And there is a self-righteousness and a self-pity excuses puts on you. Somehow you just think, Kai, if I had an uncle. If I had an uncle. And if it's not if I had an uncle, it will be, you don't know what these people are doing. If they really told you what they are doing, you will not be jealous of what they are achieving. They are not doing anything. You just need to say that to yourself. Are you together with me? So that you can feel good. You live in your own world. But I don't think that's your story. I said that's not your story. You're a taker, right? You're a taker of all that God has ordained for you. If I heard the voice of takers, I'll be happy. I tell you the truth. A taker. You take it. You take it. Are you a taker?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you're a taker. I don't have to be the one that invited him. Yeah. But so far I hear that he's around. Yeah. I might not have the clout. I might not have the ability to invite him in. You know, some people are that dangerous. I'm one of such people. I can be dangerous. They see opportunities from afar, and they don't even struggle to get to the front. But from that far place, the way they will grab the opportunity. You remember the woman with the issue of blood?
Yeah.
She wasn't so close to everyone who was touching Jesus. But before she took her step, she had already told herself, if I can but touch the helm of his garment. And friends, when this woman touched, Jesus Christ said, who touched me? So it's not about who is close to me. It's who touched me. Do you know you can be sitting in front here and you're not receiving?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You can be sitting like this. You can be sitting like this. There's one of the young guys, a very young boy. His mom doesn't always allow him to come to church. But the guy uses strange excuses to come, to hear something. You see? In Jesus' days, there were some guys who already, they already set up their own ministry. They were already working miracles and disciples saw them doing stuff. And they went to meet Jesus and said, let's stop these people. They are doing miracles in your name and they are not following us. Maybe they just attended one meeting and heard one thing. And it was enough for them to start their own in the name of Jesus. Oh my goodness. The Lord will deliver you from the sense of being disadvantaged. There's an impartation this morning, you know. Yeah. It's for takers. It's for those who have concluded that I'm going to take all that Jesus has ordained for me. I know I said I'll teach on forgiveness, but this one is forgiveness rather, but this one is drawing me. Yeah, because it's time to take. I said it's time to take.
Yes, sir.
I'll look for a way to link it. I'm trying to, how can I link? Because I started with forgiveness. I should not have given the message a topic. Because you are watching, is this, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. They are taken. Your husband is taken. I don't know your husband's name. My Togolese queen. What was that your husband's name? I forgot your husband's name. Eh? Alright, get up. You are taken. You are taken. I tell you. There are new doors opening for you.
Amen.
I looked at you and I saw it. I saw new doors. Go for it. There's a big dream God has given you. And you're contemplating it. Is it too big for me? The Lord says it's not too big. The Lord says start it. There's that dream. It looks massive. But the Lord says start it. He says start it and the helpers will come. Don't wait for the helpers to come. Start it. Anyhow is also one of the ways to get things done.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Huh? If you don't know how to do it, how should you do it?
Yeah.
Anyhow. That's the word of the Lord for you. You can sit down. Anyhow. Anyhow is also powerful. Sometimes if you don't have strategy, have passion. If you don't, because sometimes accurate strategy is how we do nothing. It's one of the legitimate reasons why you are doing nothing. You are waiting for the accurate strategy. You know, some people, their grammar is bigger than their action. They speak so much, but they do nothing. That's why I love those women in Lagos Island. They might not know about all your foreign direct investment, direct and SWOT analysis and all of that. But there's turnover. There's turnover. They're building houses. Oh my goodness. Sometimes just do it anyhow. Huh? Sometimes water can turn to wine.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that was the story of Jesus Christ at the wedding. When the wine finished. Friends, if there is no wine, what's the closest thing to wine? It's water. It's still not close, but at least it's pouring. We need wine, but we have water. Let's have water. Yeah. And it was after that, that the water turned to wine. It was the boldness to go and serve people water that made the miracle happen. The miracle didn't happen by him praying on the water to turn to wine. It was him having the faith to use what he has. And then in the journey, he turned to what? He turned to wine. You know what I see? I see good things, you know. I tell you the truth. I'm excited. I'm excited. I see good things. I see beautiful things. I see impossible things happening with you. You see, I see stories that, let me tell you something about your story. And if it's you, I'll hear your voice. It's a story that when it's being told, people try to find out when the shift actually happens. You know, you start the story from a very insignificant, but it will be difficult to pinpoint. They will just notice from here. For example, when did the water turn to wine? Nobody knows. Like, you will tell your story, you will start from insignificant, and you will hit, the story will end in a significant way. And the question is, at what time exactly? Is he here? Is he here? That time is the Lord's time. Only the Lord knows that time. We don't know the time. Only the Lord knows that time. That's why there will never be a day where we'll be slothful. There will not be a slothful day. In our days of insignificance, we'll be hardworking. In our days of significance, we'll be hardworking. Because we don't know when God will enter into the scene. It's going to be like that. That's exactly how it will happen. Yeah. It's not positive confession. You know, when God created the heavens and the earth, it was not, when he said, let there be light, he was not trying to be positive. He was saying exactly what will happen. And I'm telling you exactly what will happen. Listen, what I'm saying to you is more real to me than, it's more real than Boyce Law and Charles Law. This thing that I'm saying is definite. It's not good preaching. it's the fact of God's word. And we've seen it happen over and over and over again. It will. For everyone under the sound of my voice, this shall be your story. Listen, this old story started by the Pharisee inviting Jesus, but it ended by the exalting of the engagement of the prostitute with Jesus. She stole it because it's ours. You know, Esau was firstborn, but Jacob is firstborn. Because he was firstborn based on I came first. Jacob is firstborn based on passion. Jacob wants it. Esau said, what is this birthright to me saying that I go hungry? And that's how he sold his birthright, because he said he's hungry. And we know that that's just crazy. That's just crazy. You are Isaac's son. Those guys were extremely wealthy. And just afternoon hunger. And he had already said he's dead, he's dying. You know how all those students used to talk? Those of you who have finished, you know how Olodo used to talk? Say, I cannot kill myself. Allah Elo Magba BSU. The guy has no, he doesn't read. Olodo will read for 10 and say, Allah Elo Magba BSU. Allah Elo Magba BSU. He has not read anything. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what. Can you give me a little volume on my microphone, please? Will know who and what manner of woman this is, who is touching him, for she's a sinner. Pastor Obi was talking about being short-sighted. Because the question is not about who is touching him. The question is about who she's touching. The question is not who is touching. Is who am I touching? So the question is about the person she's touching, not she who is touching. It's not about the sinner. It's about the righteous. It's about the holy God. It's about the loving God. That's the issue. And do you know how many of us disqualify ourselves? Because you look at yourself and disqualify yourself, and you don't understand that it's not about you. It's about his name and his glory. Yes. Listen. This, your life, is not about what you can become. It's not about you. This, your life, as you are like this, you are God's business idea. So you are an idea in God's mind. So God wants to achieve with you. So it's not about you. It's about what? It's about Him. So the point is not about what a sinner can make out of herself. It's about what can God make out of a sinner that touches Him. So the Pharisee put the spotlight on the sinner instead of him to put the spotlight on the Savior. So the more not qualified you are, the better for Him.
Yes.
Because that will show His glory.
Yes.
And we see all of that in Scripture. So if you think I'm not, for example, if anybody here thinks I'm not qualified to be a pastor, that is why you are not. Yeah, when you say, now you be the pastor. Which kind of church I enter like this? So see. Why did you invite me to? Is this the man of God? See all his beard. And that was the reason why he chose me, because you would not have chosen me. You see, so he needs to choose me so that he can prove to himself how powerful he is.
Yeah.
So the more qualified you are in your head, the more not qualified you are with him. Because if he used you, everybody will know you have always been qualified. So every day we try to let him know, God, I'm not qualified, I'm not qualified, I'm not qualified. I don't know if you are qualified. Jerry, you look qualified. You know, when God gave me my wife, you know, God gave me my wife. Yeah, it was God. God speaks to people. It's you that don't used to calm down. Yeah, it's you that needs to calm down, because anytime you feel anything, you say you are in love. And I'm shocked that you trust that thing. That thing is a scam. Because you can have it for three people at the same season in 1 year. Yeah. You can get married to love your life this week, and by next week you will think you made a mistake. Because you meet another one, you say, Kai! Me bad at Nisuru. I was talking to one guy sometimes this week. And he said something that made me laugh. There's a particular lady he likes. And the lady is older than him. And he was like, Kai! Like, she's quite older than him. He's like, ah! That the thing used to pay him. Now, why did they bore me like this? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
When I was going to marry my wife, she didn't look like it. Yeah. She didn't look like a pastor's wife then. She didn't. I told you about the first day she came to visit me in my room. All my friends, you know, just stayed around the room because they were sure that Jezebel had been sent to bring me down. Yeah. But the Lord told me that's your wife. You see, because that way he will get more glory. You know. And now she's firebrand. But but listen, the Lord had already put the fire in her. But we were looking at other metrics. We're short-sighted. We're short-sighted. You know, I want to be the one God would choose every time. You know, I want God to choose me. Yeah, I want God to choose me. Huh? So like, you know, and sometimes people are angry with you because they don't think God should have chosen you. Yeah. You know, sometimes that's the anger of people. It shouldn't have been this guy. You see, everybody has a mental picture of the peak of another person. Yeah. I tell you the truth though. As Indivica is now, no matter the vision I have for him, I have it at a level. There's a way I've thought of him, my best thought of him. Didn't God take him above my best thought of him? He becomes a different person. And then I either glorify God, or I begin to accuse him for not being who I have ordained him to be. And I think he's doing something wrong because I have maxed all his right. You can see that. And if you want me to keep using for example of, well, it's not the only one now. Are my friends here?
Yes, sir.
I have this excitement this morning. Yeah. And I think it's because God is going to do something beautiful with your life.
Yeah.
This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him. For she is a sinner. Yeah. Because the assumption is that the sinners shouldn't touch him. See, the assumption is that he's so great and holy that we need to get ourselves together and appear before him. But if we get ourselves together and appear before him, who will take credit for us being together?
Wow.
We will take the credit because we were together before we appeared before him.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you take credit before God, then who is now God?
Yes.
It will have to be you. You are the new God. So when we are in his space, he has to be God.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if I'm preaching here. He has to be God if we are in his space. So I don't have to lie to him and be something that I'm not. You see, because even if I'm that thing, he's not going to receive it from me because it's still like filthy rag. You see, until God makes you, you can't be made. And that was the ideology of the Pharisees that, so you can now understand that the Pharisee had already concluded,
oh my goodness,
that the reason why I could invite him was because I'm not a sinner. So that particular dinner or lunch they were having, the Pharisee was sitting on his own righteousness. I say righteous invite righteous. But whereas Jesus, who knows all things, went to that house because he knew a sinner would come.
Yes.
And when you read this text, the whole attention, oh my goodness, the whole attention now moved from the person who hosted to the one who visited them. Because sometimes God will arrange scenarios. You won't pay for anything, but it will be about you. I tell you, I wish people were listening to what I'm saying. You are not listening to what I'm saying. I'm telling you prophetically, by the Spirit of God upon my life, at work in me, that there will be scenarios that it will start with you. You will be in the picture, but for some glorious reason, it was about you. Now listen, sit down. What I'm telling you is the covenant of God upon my life and upon this house.
Yes, sir. Yes.
This place we are in was owned by Chinese people. Mm. What they built here was a factory. When they were buying this place, when they were doing everything, all God had in mind was the Glory Center,
yes,
Community,
yes,
Church.
Yes,
and the factory burned down from up to down. And we came here, struggled to pay the first rent. And the plan of God was that this is theirs. Chinese guys come from China, buy it for them. They're about to move, go back to China. The owners have come to take the place.
Yes.
We were not in the conversation at all, but it was about us from day one.
Yes,
so stop feeling disadvantaged because there are a lot of conversations that look like great conversations that you were not brought into. Just wait for a short. Oh my goodness. I think I'm preaching fine, don't you think so?
I'm giving you the very word of Jesus Christ. No pressure anymore. No fear anymore. It was about you from the beginning. And God just allows you to stay somewhere. You know, Saul was on the throne to keep it clean for when David will get ready. It's always been David. What if I told you you've always been the plan of God? I won't mention him. There was a day I saw a vision. I saw a very top person going far in this nation. And I saw a vision. Lord said, he's going there. And the only reason why I'm taking him there is because of you. God told me this about 8 years ago. And God will be promoting someone. And God doesn't have the person in mind. There's only one reason why Joseph became prime minister. It's because Israel has to come to Egypt.
Yes, sir.
That's the only reason. That's the only reason. And just the way God will use those people's promotions for you, you must understand that a lot of your own promotions. If you don't want God to sack you, you must ask him, who is this for? If you think, if you hold everything as if it's your own, God will fling you away. You are better for God. Who is it for? You are just a custodian.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. My wife and I will make sure that whatever God gives to us, we find out who is it for. And we send it easily to them. Because if God has counted us worthy to use us as a routing channel, it's a great blessing. It's a great blessing. How much does banks have? It's our money banks have. But the owner of the bank is a billionaire who owes money, our own. God cannot use you as channel and you are not. That's the prayer for prosperity. Say, God, use me for mankind. Why? Because you are too small for God to focus on you. You need to understand that. If you want to focus on yourself, go and hustle. But if you want God to bless you, you can't think about yourself. Because you are too small. If the blessing of God rests upon you for only you, you will perish. You will die. Is this... This man who is touching him for she would have known who is touching him for she is a sinner. Can I have 15 more minutes?
Yes, sir.
I can't hear you.
Yes, sir.
Mine. All right. 20.
It's yours.
25.
Yours.
30.
Yours.
35.
Yours.
45.
Yours.
2 hours.
Yes.
If you could give me 21 days, what's? Come on, give him a shout of praise. The next verse. Oh, we love Jesus. Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. Pharisee, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had 2 debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to pay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said, Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. Are you with me? But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. Let me say this to you. Now hear me quick.
One of the laws that attracts prosperity from God is that you need to practice the art, A-R-T, of always doing extra in line of honor. Always. A lot of us are too lazy. You see, the Pharisee thought it's enough to invite him and give him lunch. But there is more to be done. Always practice extra. Even business people. Always what? You see, extra is what proves that you are royalty. See, a lot of us have desire for royalty. Like we want the royalty blessing, the royalty greatness. You see, but royalty doesn't come to you because you desire it. Royalty comes to you because you are royalty. It's not what you desire. It has to be who you are. So you must rework your mind that if you want royalty, you have to learn to release royalty. You have to learn to give royalty. By the time you shift your mind and begin to act like royalty, life will begin to bring royalty to you. Because it's yours. Royalty is not like a gift to someone. As a man thinks in his heart, so is. Your harvest will always resemble your seed. If you sow in dishonor, you will not reap in honor. And everything you do, in all the businesses you do, everything in life, when you serve anybody that comes to you, let the best you did, the best you do should not be the food you gave. It should be how you gave it. Don't stop at I've given food, that's all. You must create a culture of royalty in everything that you do. And royalty is not about cost. It's about the mind. It's about the quality of the soul. You can have a lot of wealth, a lot of money, and there's no royalty in your life. When you go to Ekiti State, you understand what I'm talking about. You see where other people in Ekiti State, they are strange. You see strange things happen in that state. Somebody can build a mansion and paint it without plastering it. Yeah. Like it's a common thing. They will just paint Atikoto now. Even in the university, you will see sometimes some buildings that were painted without plastered. And you will know this building is expensive. Like not that the person can't afford plastering, but the person is... Even some mechanics, by the time you get the mechanic, you can understand why he's still at the level he is. I say, Eli, I need that era, O one Akoma, I'm a Baborisi. Yeah. And before you know it, you change your engine. Yeah. You change the engine. The engine will knock. I gave one guy my car to help me service. Now this guy, I've blessed him severally. This is some years back. I've blessed him severally. If I have invited somebody, a friend, to bless him, I've blessed his wife. I just love the guy. He also serviced a car. Now when I got to his space, I saw what they call the oil filter. I saw one old one on the floor. So I left for him to service it. When I came back, he was done servicing. And I pointed to this oil filter that I saw when I first came. I said, what will if it am to me? Uti dirty gone. And I said, what if it ain't bad gone? He didn't know I was setting him up. I seen the oil filter when I came. They said, oh, honey, I'm going to go to the movie like we get the body. So the guy could not buy oil filter to service the car. The oil filter is just going to cost him about 2,500 naira. And I've dashed him times 20 or 30 of that amount. Just dash without walking. You see, because he's not royalty in his brain. So I say, you are a useless boy. He was now shocked. He said, and now we're going to change it. Now, we can't have a relationship. So he's not going to get royalty because he deserves. He can't have it. You know, if God wants to, if God wants to give him, he will curse God. He himself, his life, you see, a lot of you, your life repels your prayers. Yeah, your life can repel your life can say no. You won't know you are saying no, but your life say no, God forbid. So Jesus Christ said, the basis of my engagement with you was that you never counted me as somebody who was deserving of double honor. Are you together with me? You engage me as somebody who is either lesser. You see, because, can I preach here?
Yes, sir.
Because in those days, it is easy to call somebody a teacher. Because even the Pharisees were addressed as teachers. But it was not easy to call somebody a prophet. A prophet in those days means somebody God has sent. Am I preaching here? To change the narrative. That's the Jewish, see the prophets they've had. When you have a Moses, you have Elijah, it's always a phenomenon. And Jesus was taking the posture of a prophet. You see, but this man doubted that he was a prophet, but still invited him because he was gaining some traction in Israel. In his mind, related to him as a teacher. So when he came to his house, when he just came to his house, he was engaging him at a personal, oh my goodness, as colleague. And because he engaged him as colleague, he didn't do extra. But there was another who didn't see him as colleague, saw Jesus as prophet, as savior. And Jesus Christ is telling us here, listen to this. I entered here, and Jesus Christ told him, say, okay, see this parable. One owed 50, one owed 500. The master forgave both of them. Which one will love more? The one that owed more and was forgiving more will love more, right?
Yes.
Are you getting the drift now?
Yes,
let's read it. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but the woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, as sins which are many are forgiven, so she loved much. But whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. So the woman was aware that her sins were much. And because she's aware that her sins are much, she was able to love much. But the Pharisee was aware that his sin is not much. But but what the Pharisee lacks is that what makes you a sinner is not size of sin, it's sin itself.
Yes, sir.
Are you together with me? And so, am I preaching here?
Yeah.
It's not sign of sin. That actually the consequences of sin is not based on the sizes of it. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. S-I-N. Not the wages of sins. The wages of sin is death. So whether your sin is much or whether your sin is little, are you together with me? It's death. Just stay in the scripture. Don't leave the scripture. It's death. But guess what? He was not aware of his sin. And whenever we are not aware of our sin, two things will happen to us. We won't be able to receive the forgiveness that we need because we don't even think we need it.
Yeah.
And then we won't be able to even give the forgiveness others need.
Yeah.
Do you know why you don't forgive? You don't forgive because you are better.
Yeah.
Somewhere in your head, you are better. I'm telling you, that's what makes you... You see, it's not because you are hurt you don't forgive. That's not the only reason. The reason you don't forgive is you can't do this. Me, le chef, me, le chef, koto chef, me, le chef, one. But only my le chef, only me, the only chef. Eh? Then do you understand that? I'm sorry. Are you together with me? So when we are aware that, oh boy,
I am all that I am by the grace of God. When you understand that, it will be easy to say, I forgive you.
Yeah.
And it says that, therefore I say to you, as sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. There's a whole lot to pack in this scripture. So sometimes when we want to heal, when we want people to heal up and to walk in love, when we want people to be healed, what do we do for them? We forgive them. When we forgive people, they heal up. Are we together here? Friends, God wants this world to be a world where there's a whole lot of love. And the way we can do it is, well, there has to be a lot of what? There has to be a lot of forgiveness going on. You see, forgiveness is how God invites us to be like Him. Yeah. Yeah. It's God's invitation to us to be like Him. It's God's invitation to be like Him. It's, you see, when you are saying you want to be like God, don't first think about doing miracles. If there's something Satan can never do, is to forgive. It's to forgive. Because for Satan, you don't even have to offend him. Nobody is offending him. He's dealing with everybody without offense. You understand? So why are you saying forgiveness? Satan doesn't like you. Why? I don't feel like you. Yeah. I've never gone to any new city or something and I met the devils in that city and they were smiling or... Yeah, anytime I go to a new city, is always one demon trying to do some... I've never met them in peace saying, okay, oh, there's no ceasefire. I tell you, it's always war. I don't think you should be like that. It should not always be war around you. Eh? Listen, it's a joyful thing to wake up in the morning and find out there's nobody you haven't forgiven. I trust God for you that tomorrow when you wake up, there's nobody you haven't forgiven. Unforgiveness is always a proof of self-righteousness.
Yeah.
If you were really aware of how terrible you are,
yeah,
you would know you have no right to hold anybody.
Mm.
We must appreciate the fact that Jesus has paid the debt for everyone's sin.
Yes,
now, when I'm talking on forgiveness, I'm not saying you have to have a fantastic, robust relationship with everybody. That's suicidal. No. But you have to have, your heart should be free towards everybody. You don't have to wish evil. You know, one day, was it sometime last, I can't remember exactly. I was talking to the Lord. Because I was praying for my enemies. So I was talking to the Lord. I said, Lord, I hope you're not about to answer those prayers I'm praying for my enemies. I'm just trying to obey the scripture, you know. There's no faith there. You know, you're not going to answer prayers without faith. So, I said, Lord, I don't be those prayers. So I'm just trying to be a good Christian. Don't answer those prayers, man. While we were deep below. You said if I show them love, you will heap a coal of fire. It's coal of fire I was, oh Lord. But I had to repent of it. You see? Because it's a godly thing. We must embrace godliness. You forgive. It doesn't make sense. Yes, that's why I said it's your invitation to be like God. It doesn't make sense. See, the person who wrote most of our scripture, it didn't make sense for Paul should be one of the most fantastic. It makes sense to us a little, but in the days of Paul, it won't make sense.
Yeah.
Paul will be teaching places where some of his people, he killed their mothers. I'll be teaching them, we'll be holding them for coming late to church. And it was the persecutor of the church. But it doesn't make sense. You have to learn to forgive. But it's like, you don't know what this person did. Are you going to forgive when the crime is lesser? It's the character of God. Sometimes it's tough, but you can ask for grace. Because it's the character of God, you can't do it in the flesh. You just have to be willing and God will supply the grace. Friends, I want you waking up in the morning and there's nobody that you are wishing something bad will happen to, but you can't really. No. There's nobody that you are holding, you know. And some people even do it to the person that their spouses. Some people will not forgive their spouses. Now, if you don't forgive your spouse, how will it be well with you? Don't you know that you are one? If you don't forgive your spouse, you're not forgiving yourself. And you have to learn to forgive your spouse. You have to perfect the art of forgiving your spouse, because your spouse will offend you till Jesus comes.
Yeah.
You see, forgiveness is not a proof that there will not be repetition. Jesus' disciples asked him, how many times should I forgive? What did he say? 70 times per day. Now, no human being is going to offend you that much. That's how many times per day? 490 per day. Nobody will even offend you that amount of time per year or in a lifetime. So it must mean that I must conclude already that forgiveness is a must. Now, forgiveness is not just an expression of kindness. It's an act of obedience. Like you are wrong when you don't forgive. Like you are wrong. Like you and God now have problem. Now imagine somebody has problem with you, you now have problem with God. You see, you are in danger. And God told us that if you don't forgive others, I withhold my own from you. So it means that one of the traps of Satan for us is to get an idiot to offend us and whisper to you, no grief. If Satan is trying to get you and is unable to get you, he will tell somebody to offend you. And then he will start blowing the offense like a rat that bites your hand and will be blowing breeze. I don't know how true that is, though. So that you will not wake up. They blow breeze. Laolu said it's true. Laolu. Eh? And they'll eat it, they'll not blow breeze. Ah! It's true. You've seen rats blow breeze. Amen. Bisola Egoke said it's true. Bisola said it's very true. When her husband comes back, we'll ask her over. And when he was away. Are you with me, friends? So the enemy will want you not to forgive. And you see, unforgiveness is your road to bitterness. And bitterness is trapping a bomb on your own self. Yeah. Bitterness. You know, you can't be bitter and the Holy Spirit is still functioning in you. Yeah. The ministry of the Holy Ghost shuts down when you are bitter. I just want you to know that when you are talking about village witches and all of that, these ones are more deadly than all of that. Forgiveness is God's invitation and opportunity for us to be like God. It is the introduction or application of mercy to the dark sides of our partners. Unforgiveness is the conducive environment for demons. Bitterness will lead to every other evil act and it will defile many. Right? Now, what have I not said? I haven't said that all relationships must remain. You know, and I haven't said that. I'm not going to say that. Are you together with me? It doesn't make sense. It's not practicable. But forgiveness is a must. Sometimes we can readjust relationships. I said this relationship shouldn't be like this. Yeah, sometimes the Lord will have you say, oh no, this thing shouldn't be like this. And sometimes our relationship has to be adjusted because the offense coming out from it is too much. That's a conversation for another day. We'll look at that, at you know, managing relationships and all of that. But forgiveness is
is a must. And there are various reasons for that. One, you know that you also were forgiven. And you know that there is nobody that will commit a sin greater than the one you committed against the Lord. Nobody. You are still number one. You are the chief sinner. Huh? You are the chief sinner. And that was how, that was what made that woman. Let's finish this story so that I can just share the grace. Next verse. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Then he said to those women, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Is there any other verse? Go in peace. Your what? Your faith has saved. So because sometimes we think faith is bragging. But in this context, faith is acknowledgement of sin.
Yes. Wow.
That's the faith that saved her. It was the faith of her knowing that I'm not so great. Are we together here? It was the faith that made her not to hide because of shame. Because how do you stand before a Pharisee and before the holy Jesus and you come in confidently and you're a prostitute? That's the faith that saved her. It's sincerity. It's sincerity. We see the same faith saving Rahab. And Rahab became a giant of faith in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. By just believing the Lord. I feel like God is calling us to a higher life.
Yeah.
And God is asking us to drop baggages. Baggages of offenses. Let's drop all those baggages and stories. Somebody did this, somebody did that. Can we drop all of those baggages and just move forward and go in peace? Glory to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I said quite a number of things this morning to us. And I didn't say all those things I said so that I can, you know, sound great. I want you to go and use everything you've heard. Right?
Yes, sir.
What are you to do with everything you've heard?
Use it.
Don't you use it. You want to use it. You want to be one who just forgives. You want to have an environment where there's love. Lose your right not to forgive. If there's anyone who has a right not to forgive, is who? It's God. It's Jesus. But you know, if he doesn't forgive, he's no more Jesus. And that's why the person you are holding an offense against has gone to cry to the Lord and the Lord has forgiven the person. I mean, you don't be angry with somebody God is not angry with. Yeah? Don't be angry with somebody God is not angry with. I can't forget, a few years ago, the day God told me, I was about entering into the bathroom. I can't forget that scene. Entering the bathroom, and God said, hey, I just want you to tell you that, do you know that, like, when you're angry with somebody, it doesn't affect my blessing for a person. I don't want you to be angry that maybe I'm not blessing the person. You are now shocked. I just want you to know that. Yeah. Like, it also, and I don't come to meet you to say, can I bless that? You are not that, like, important in the scheme of, I just say, I said, alright, Abed, can I have my bath? You know? Yeah. Just forgive. Live with a free heart.
Yeah.
Just love the Lord, love humanity, love mankind. Protect yourself when necessary. But always forgive anyone. In fact, the reason you protect yourself is because you know that if the person does, if they do any bad, you will forgive. So forgive in advance.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Forgive in advance. People will hurt you. The only thing you can plan is not to hurt people. But you cannot plan for people not to hurt you. That one is not possible. You can work on you not hurting people. Just like you can decide not to jam cars. But they will jam you. In Lagos, they will jam you. You can say, I will never hit a car. That is achievable. But that they will not hit you. Because you don't even have to be, you know, the one that paid me like twice or thrice was I was parked. I park.
And if I was not in the car, and I just came out, somebody was begging me. I said, why are you begging me? Remove your mirror, remove your doors, remove. Yeah. That's to let you know that offenses will come. But woe unto him who offenses come through. So what you can say is, what you can do is, God, oh. And there is always a reward when you forgive. When you forgive, God brings blessings to you. He brings succor to you. Yeah. Because you are propagating his nature upon the face of the earth. Do we have forgivers in the house? Yeah.